I made all the arrangements, bought the ticket, even took him to the airport. But he just wouldn't get on the plane. Well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We'll be looking at a passage briefly here. Luke chapter 5, down in verse 17. Story where Jesus heals the paralytic. Starting in verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he says to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Jesus leads us to believe in Him. He has led us to the truth about Himself, that He is God in the flesh. John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the truth, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That He is the truth, that His words are the truth. But is there a why? Is there a why that we need to understand of what it is to believe in Him, to know that He is the truth? Well, our scripture for tonight was John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 14. And in this story, Jesus meets this woman at the well, and they have this conversation about who's going to draw the water and who's going to be the one to drink from it. And as we get towards the end, in verse 13, Jesus answers her and said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And this is it. This is the why. This is the why to believe in Him. Jesus leads us to believe in Him for eternal life. He gives the same response to that large crowd that keeps following Him around and around. Flip over to John chapter 6, just a couple chapters later. And this large crowd, he feeds this multitude of people, this 5,000 that were counted. And they sort of chase Him down. He leaves them, and there's this glimpse of Him walking on the water, and they go circle around to the lake and to catch up with Jesus. And they finally catch up to him on the other side of the lake after he's fed them. And he has this conversation with them, and they're asking him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" in verse 25. In verse 26, Jesus answers and said, "I tell you the truth, you aren't looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Skip down to verse 35. Later in this address, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." To believe in him, to never go without thirst, this spring welling up within you that leads to eternal life. Jesus leads us to believe in him. He leads us to believe in him for eternal life. Turn with me back to Mark chapter 8. Because Jesus not only leads us to believe in him, but he leads us to follow him. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Jesus leads us not only to believe in him, but Jesus leads us to follow him. Peter echoes this message in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where he says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." We are to follow him. And Jesus has led us to follow him. Not a path that we cannot, not a way that we can't find, but a way that we can follow and a way that we can walk in his steps. In John chapter 13, we see this example played out, where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And at the beginning, the very beginning of the chapter, in verses, the first couple of verses, first verse actually, John says, "It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love." Jump with me down to verse 6. As he begins to wash his disciples' feet, he comes to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus leads us to believe in Him so that we may have eternal life. Jesus leads us to follow Him so that He doesn't just wash our feet, but that we love one another, that we wash one another's feet. And in Luke 13, turn with me there. Jesus not only leads this way, but He leads us to love like Him. Luke 13, down in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and she could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, He called her forward and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then He put His hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work. So come and be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her?" When He said this, His opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things He was doing. Jesus leads us to love like Him, to have compassion like Him, to have compassion on this woman, a sister, a daughter of Abraham. There are so many passages throughout the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is encouraging us, inspiring us, leading us to this most beautiful pool. This pool that looks and is so clear, and you look upon it and you see that it's just so beautiful. And you want to drink from it. At least that's what Jesus hopes. Jesus leads us to this place. He leads us to this water that we're to drink from, that He wants us to drink from, that would well up within us, leading to eternal life. He wants love within us to be that infectious, that no matter the circumstance, no matter the hurt, no matter the pain that is within someone's life, in the middle of their church service, seemingly, He calls this woman to the front to to heal her. He's leading us to love like Him. He says in John 13, verses 36, 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another. By all this, men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Chapter 16, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love if you obey my commands. You will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Jesus is leading us. He's leading us over and over and over again to this beautiful pool. And sometimes we turn our noses up at it. Sometimes we bend down and sniff at it and go, "Not today. I've got other things I need to do." We bend down to that pool not to take a drink, but to go, "It's rather an inconvenience. It's imposing too much on my life. Actually, I've got too much to do to go with you to the pool, Jesus, to see how beautiful that water that you want me to drink is. No, I believe. I follow you. I get it. You are my Messiah, but not today. My brother or my sister is at the pool and they need me. They need my leadership. They need my love. They need my comfort. Not today. I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. I've got just a little too much that I'm trying to deal with to go to your pool today, Jesus." That happens sometimes for us. That happens sometimes in many churches. Where is our leadership? Where, when we need that whole body of the church to be there at the pool, drinking together, we need that. Think for a moment about those shows on Discovery or Animal Planet. They'll have those specials about Africa. And they'll always have, you know, in the promo, they'll always have this shot of the zebras or the gazelles or some animal, you know, going down to the water's edge to get a drink. And you're waiting in suspense to be shocked because you know that the water's probably not safe. You know that there's going to be some animal that's going to come flying out of the water at the moment, and it's going to be shocking, and it's sort of going to be the thing that sort of draws you to watch of what happens next. But did you notice? Did you notice that in that herd of zebras or in that herd of animals, who goes down to the water's edge first? Do we ask our young families And young people, do they push those baby zebras down to the front? You try the water first. Oh, you have a little one. You go down to the water's edge first. You try the water first. Do they do that? No. Animals instinctively care for those little ones. And there's leadership that comes forward and they go down and they drink from the water. And then when those young families and those young zebras know that it's safe, they go down to the water's edge. And they know that everybody is here with us. We're going to get to do this together. We get to be a family, as a big group, as a herd. We get to drink from this water's edge together. Jesus leads us to believe in Him. He leads us to follow Him. He leads us to love like Him. He has led us. His Spirit has led us. People that have been close to you in your lives have helped to lead you. They've led you to believe, they've led you to follow, and they've led you to love. But in my experience of being and talking and when visiting with young people to being a young person, to even occasionally going and having breakfast with older folks, I feel like I kind of span this gap of young people and older folks. And one of the things that I've learned from all of that is that there's this great need of unity. There's this great need of leadership. There's this great need of having a common goal and a common interest in mind, and achieving that together. And what I see is that young people long for that. Young people long for that companionship, for that relationship. You see that. You see that in your grandchildren. You see that in your your own children. How they long for that relationship. And how significant and how important that is. Led to believe, led to follow, led to love. Whether in our own homes, with our wife or our husband, are we being examples to one another of how to believe? How to believe in Christ, how to follow Him, and how to love like Him? Are we being that example to our own children, to our grandchildren? Are we being that example within our church family of why we believe, of why we follow, and how to follow, and how we love? I hope that it's not, as the drawing indicates on the slide behind me, that Jesus over and over and over again in your life is giving you opportunities to believe, giving you opportunities to follow Him, giving you opportunities to love, and we're looking down at that wonderful, beautiful pool of water and saying, nope. I was searching for a camp retreat to take our youth upon, and I came upon this local camp, and they had this theme, and I thought that was kind of neat, so I looked at the theme and And then I realized there was the same theme every year at camp. Okay, this must be pretty good. So I click and I play, and Sky starts talking and telling me about the theme, telling me about why the theme is always the same theme every year. And the theme is, I am third. I was like, I am third? I guess I don't really get that. I guess I need to listen to the end so that he can explain it to me, because I'm not apparently that quick. So I am third. God is first. Other person is second. And that puts me third. And he went through example after example of example of kids who've come to camp. And then they've come back to camp the next year, and they came up to him and they told him some story, some instance, something that happened in their life about reflecting just that, how they were able to put God first in their life, how to put somebody else second, and to put themselves third. In reflecting upon how Jesus leads us to believe in Him, on how Jesus leads us to follow Him, upon how Jesus leads us to love like Him, that camp theme of I am third seems to really resonate with where we need to be as a church family if we're going to be all going down to the water's edge together, seeing leadership throughout our congregation, across generations, loving each other, caring for each other, encouraging each other, and being the brother and sister that so many of us need. Jesus has made all the arrangements, bought all the tickets, even took us to the airport. But it's going to be up to us whether or not we get on that plane. If tonight you want to make good on what Jesus has done for you, and you believe in Him, and you want to follow Him, and you want to love like Him from this point forward for the rest of your life, Jesus' water is available. Not just for drinking, to well up within you to eternal life, but a water that washes your sins away so that you will have eternal forgiveness. If you have any need, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?